Southwest avoids having to ground a chunk of its fleet. NTSB has 19 recommendations for the Hilo medevac industry. And ignore the Fourth Amendment? CBP says, yes, we can. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, September 2, 2009. Southwest Airlines reports it reached a last-minute resolution yesterday with the FAA, extending a deadline to replace unapproved flap exhaust gate assemblies installed on some of its Boeing 737s. The parts, which deflect engine heat from the wings, were to have been replaced by yesterday under the original deadline, but Southwest said an extensive audit showed the parts could be on as many as 82 of its aircraft, and it's only been able to source parts to replace them on 25. That number had grown to 43 and counting by the end of the day yesterday. The unapproved parts were found by the FAA not to present an immediate safety hazard, and Southwest says it has suspended the maintenance company that procured those parts. The new FAA deadline is now December 24th, with a requirement for inspection of the remaining unapproved assemblies every 7 days until replacements are made. Southwest says its customers will not experience any impact to their flight plans. Mike Vandeven, Southwest's executive VP and COO, commented, quote, "We want to assure our customers that this situation is not about having unsafe parts on our airplanes. Our approved vendor subcontracted a machining function without appropriate written approval from the FAA. As a result, the parts are considered unapproved and must be removed regardless of their quality. The parts have been inspected, and the FAA agrees that they meet the requirements of the aircraft manufacturer, Boeing. We concur that this plan is the best and most reasonable manner in which to fulfill the FAA's mandate." Unquote. Among the higher-profile activities of the National Transportation Safety Board this year has been a close look at the rules and advisory circulars regarding the conduct of helicopter medevac operations. 2008 was the deadliest year on record, with 12 accidents and 29 fatalities in that segment. Of specific concern, some of them involved positioning or other routine flights in which patients were not even on board. The NTSB yesterday issued 19 recommendations covering pilot training, safety management systems, collection and analysis of flight, weather, and safety data, flight data monitoring, development of a low-altitude airspace infrastructure, and the use of dual pilots, autopilots, and night vision imaging systems. You'll find an extensive description of the recommendations in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. It's important to note that the NTSB recommendations are not evaluated for feasibility or unintended consequences and not binding on the FAA. The Obama administration's new rules for customs agents checking you at the U.S. border on a return home are similar to those enacted by the Bush administration, and that's got the American Civil Liberties Union a little hot. The Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution spells out your freedom from unreasonable search and seizure, but U.S. Customs and Border Patrol is insisting, yes, we can. InfoWorld reports the internal guidelines for CBP suggest 5 days, but allow the agency to drag its feet for up to 30. Keep your stuff, and review any digital files on your laptop, digital camera, or smartphone, including financial records, with no requirement to demonstrate probable cause. ACLU staff attorney Catherine Crump says the new rules are too vague. Quote, "Members of the public deserve fundamental privacy rights when traveling, and the safety of knowing that federal agents cannot rifle through their laptops without some reasonable suspicion of wrongdoing." Unquote. Up next on ANN, John and Martha King will be honored for their work against LASP. Arnold Palmer will address NBAA 2009. And the A320 family celebrates a milestone. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 2nd. I'm Paul Platt. The National Business Aviation Association reports that King School's founders, John and Martha King, will be recognized with the association's American Spirit Award for representing business aviation before Congress and the TSA. Over the past year, Martha testified before a hearing on the proposed and misnamed Large Aircraft Security Program by the House Subcommittee on Transportation Security and Infrastructure Protection. Earlier in the year, John spoke at a public hearing on the proposal conducted by the TSA in Burbank, California. NBAA President Ed Bolin commented, quote, NBAA is honored to present John and Martha with the 2009 NBAA American Spirit Award. They've long taken a leadership role in explaining directly to Washington policymakers why the business aviation community has so many concerns about the LASP. Their public testimonials underscore how important it is for the people in our industry to make their voices heard on our highest policy priorities, unquote. A formal presentation of the award is scheduled for NBAA 2009 in Orlando, October 20th through the 22nd. NBAA announced on Monday that Arnold Palmer will be among the participants in the opening general session for NBAA 2009. President Ed Bolin commented, quote, Arnold is recognized around the world, not just as a renowned golf professional, but also as a highly successful businessman who's long relied on business aviation as part of building his company. We look forward to hearing his firsthand perspective on how business aviation helps him succeed, unquote. Joining Palmer for the session will be FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt and Forbes publisher Rich Karlgaard, who owns and pilots a Cirrus SR-22 for business. A primary focus for the convention will be a new light business airplane conference designed to help buyers understand the considerations involved in purchasing a new airplane, as well as sessions to help NBAA members quantify and communicate the value of their business aircraft. On Monday, Cessna announced the delivery of the first Cessna Citation 10 to be fitted with elliptical winglets. The winglets were installed at the Wichita Cessna Service Center under Winglet Technologies STC and are a product of collaboration between the two companies. Cessna plans to offer the upgrade through all 9 of its service centers in the U.S. and Europe. Airbus is celebrating a milestone, delivery of the 4,000th A320 family airliner. The customer was Brazil's TAM Airlines, and the plane was assembled in Hamburg, Germany. On the A319's ferry flight from Hamburg to Brazil, TAM will transport goods for schools for handicapped children in the region. The equipment was donated by Aviation Without Borders Germany and facilitated by the Airbus Foundation. In July, more than 10,000 employees involved in the program at all Airbus sites celebrated the production of the plane. Still ahead, Avidyne's latest partner lets you leave your MP3 player at home. India's unmanned lunar mapping mission is over. And could NASA save billions by making Mars a one-way trip? You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, September 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. Avidyne says it's partnered with PS Engineering to create an Integra Release 9 compatible version of PS's new PMA-8000B MP3 audio control panel. Among the panel's unique capabilities is an internal MP3 player that stores up to 1 gigabyte of music or podcasts. It eliminates the need for a remote player, reducing the clutter of cables in the cockpit. MP3 audio files are easily uploaded from a portable USB thumb drive or PC. In addition to MP3 capability, the Avidyne versions of the 8000B allow Integra Release 9 IFDs to display plain English station identifier information about the radio frequency selected and leverage the full capability of Release 9's multi-channel comm radios. All the popular functions of the standard 8000B are also supported, including front panel music and cellular telephone input, intercom recording and playback, user-selectable music and intercom configurations, and PS Engineering's proprietary IntelliVox intercom squelch protocol. MSRP is just under $2,100 US for the MP3-capable version or $1,900 for the version without, with immediate availability through approved PS Engineering and Avidyne Release 9 dealers. The Indian government says it's lost contact with its Chandrayaan-1, or Mooncraft, orbiter After nearly a year spent mapping the lunar surface, the Monday announcement says attempts to reestablish contact are being ended. Bloomberg reports state-run media quotes the Indian Space Research Organization as saying it has received over 70,000 images of the lunar surface. ISRO chief Madhavan Nair commented, quote, "We survived for 315 days, which is a good record. Many such experiments have burnt within a month in the past. We are disappointed with the development, but have managed to get a large volume of data," unquote. And finally, as aerospace experts form panels and hold debates about whether NASA can afford to send humans back to the moon or onto Mars, at least one voice is asking the obvious question, couldn't we save a lot of money if we committed to a one-way trip? Lawrence Krauss is the director of the Origins Initiative at Arizona State University and the author of The Physics of Star Trek. In an op-ed piece in Monday's New York Times, he observes that mounting a mission to Mars may subject astronauts to radiation which will shorten their lives, which might be better lived out during research on the red planet. As for who would agree to go on such a mission, Krauss relates this story. Quote, "One of my peers in Arizona recently accompanied a group of scientists and engineers from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory on a geological field trip. During the day, he asked how many would be willing to go on a one-way mission into space. Every member of the group raised his hand. The lure of space travel remains intoxicating for a generation brought up on Star Trek and Star Wars," unquote. Krauss says the real obstacles to such a mission will be political. Still, he reasons, quote, "To boldly go where no one has gone before does not require coming home again," unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, the second part of my conversation with Steve Masters, president of the Cessna Advanced Aircraft Club. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.